opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mike Radio Show here at www.mikebrokhead.com. God bless you, Pastor John Bazemore. Listen, I'm doing two things at the same time. God is good, worthy to be praised. I don't have my car today, so I will not be in the studio live. Thank God for my wife, her escorting me. And so we're doing two things at the same time. I want to do an hour today on SITU, Lesson 2, Week 99, on the Book of Revelation. Okay, and I know this teaching is controversial. There's nothing I can teach and preach that will cause everybody to believe 100%. Because this book is real controversial. I come to find there's like a few views on it. What I try to do is share my view on it, and others can share theirs. But at least on my broadcast, I can share with you what God leads me to say and what God leads me to do. And so if you didn't watch Lesson 1 on this, let's just go back and watch Lesson 1, Week 98. On the Book of Revelation. I'm just giving you some ABC things, basic, and kind of set the tone for the Book of Revelation. And I'm probably teaching it different than probably I've heard it growing up in the church. This year makes 40 years in ministry. I was saved at the age of 17, preaching the same day I was saved. So I count all those years of ministry. I was licensed in 1988, ordained in 1993. I count them all years as ministry. So this year is 40 years of ministry. God bless you to my engineer, Robert Santos, to Pastor John Bates, my keyboard called the Falcon. I think I had a birthday this past week. Happy birthday, Pastor John, to you, your wife, to your church and ministry. Of course, to your son, Pastor Troy Bazemore, Kingdom Point of View. Both of you are dynamic teachers and preachers of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's pray and get into the word today. Lord God, we pray to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, and it gives unto us the spirit of wisdom of revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, that our eyes are enlightened, that we may know the hope of your calling, the glorious riches that are inside the saints, and that exceeding greatness of your power to us, Lord, because we believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ, and you raised him from the dead far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominions, not only in this world, but the world which is to come, which is Christ's body that fills all in all, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I want to go back to the Book of Revelation. I want to still stick with chapter 1. I want to still build this type of premise and explain some things about the Book of Revelation. Now, there's always been controversial issues in the body of Christ down through the years. So no matter what I teach today, you're not going to agree 100%. So let's just get it out the way. But let's always say, if we don't agree doctrinally, we shall always remain friends and stay in love in Christ and not use that as a rule to stay away from each other. Because we're not going to agree. You know, talk on the Book of Revelation, like talk about politics. You know, you're never going to come to a conclusion about what's going on in our country. You got Republicans hating on the Democrats. You got the Democrats hating on the Republicans. You got someone that says Barack Obama was the Antichrist, then Donald Trump is the Antichrist. You're never going to agree on politics. So that's an issue. I don't try to get someone to always see my point of view. I kind of listen, pray, and watch God. Good afternoon, Pastor. Sister Sharon Jemison, 1981 classmate. God bless you. But I want to give you my point of view as Pastor McDuffie on the Book of Revelation. I started this maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I want to stay fixed on my target. This is the bachelor-level course. I'm on the rapture teaching on the AA level, but I'm a few weeks ahead on that. I'm about 111 weeks on that one. And this is week 99, lesson 2, on the Book of Revelation. And I want to be very careful how I teach this and lay out the framework so I can give you a better understanding that will make your future view opportunistic and not pessimistic. You know, usually if your concept that the world's getting worse, is getting bad, and nothing will get better, then my thing is, why even try? You know, if it's going to get bad, why even preach the gospel? The gospel must be able to transcend culture barriers. It must be able to touch hearts. It must be able to transfer and transcend the hearts and minds of pharaohs and kings and princes. But I'm going to tell you, LQ, I'm going to tell you, Sharon and Brother Robert, Your teaching, your equipping will set the tone for your future. And that's why your local church membership means a lot. Who is your pastor? Who's speaking to your ear gates? Who's speaking to your heart gates? Because your mind, your ear, and your heart will determine what you do in your future. It'll watch what you look at, what you stare at, what you are around, because that can affect you mentally, it can affect you emotionally. So it does matter who your pastor is. It does matter who speaks into your eye gates and your ear gates. And I call that your heart gate. God said in the book of Acts, he will write the laws on their hearts and their minds. So it looks like the word of God, when it penetrates the hearts and the minds, it can bring forth transformation. That's why the devil works on the spirit of distraction. Keep you away from getting that word, keeping that gospel from getting into your hearts. I didn't watch lesson one, I think a couple of weeks ago. You can go back and watch it. The BA level, this is SITU, the school I started back in 1995. And from SITU, I launched my church in 1997. But the SITU stands for School of Intensified Training and Understanding. And it's about two truths that bring in awareness so you can understand the scriptures from a kingdom point of view. Thank you, Pastor Troy Baseball, of that term, kingdom point of view. And if you don't have the right understanding, you would think that Christianity is a type of religion trying to hold on and hold out at the Christ's return, that the world's getting worse, the world's getting bad. Yeah, but when you start looking over a historical artifact, look back at our past, you know, we came through a lot of bad stuff already. I mean, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, I believe, helped to dismantle slavery. I believe the preaching of the gospel caused things to happen in the 60s, with Dr. King and Rosa Parks, the Montgomery boycott, or bus boycott. There are things that have transpired and changed because of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Many people call it Christianity. I particularly don't like that term. I just don't like it. I use it because that's what most of you are able to adapt to. I believe we are kingdom citizens. I believe we're sons and daughters of God. I use the term sons. And we're supposed to take this glorious gospel of the kingdom and preach it, teach it, live it, where it transforms people's hearts and minds. But every time I come in the room, I'm talking about doom and gloom and the end of the world and getting worse. And Donald Trump is the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet. And everybody's always the Antichrist for someone that we didn't vote for. You ever notice that? Every time someone we don't vote for, someone doesn't get what we want, it's the Antichrist, it's the beast. Every week we change. One day it's the Pope. Today, yesterday it's the president. Tomorrow it's the governor. Tomorrow it's the mayor. Anything or anyone that does something we don't agree with becomes the Antichrist of the devil. The book of Revelation has nothing to do with an Antichrist. You ask me, like, an Antichrist. And I tell people all the time, where is the term Antichrist even in the book of Revelation? The term Antichrist is not even in the book of Revelation. It's in 1 John and 2 John. If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll see that he says you've already overcome this spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is any religion, any system, anyone that says and preaches and tries to say that Jesus has not come in the flesh. He's not God Almighty in the flesh. The word anti means against. It also means to replace, to take the place thereof. And so an antichrist is any religion, any system that tells you that Jesus is not the Christ. And what made it bad during what I call the apostate Jewish age is that not only did they say that Christ wasn't the Messiah, Jesus wasn't the Messiah, they even tried to murder and to destroy anyone that said he was. That's why God's judgment fell upon the Jews in the first century, which you call the apostate Jewish movement, apostate, which means God rejected them because they rejected the Christ. Now, please hear me closely. Don't hear with Jewish ears, hear with kingdom ears. There were many Jews that called in the name of Jesus and were saved. The apostles, those that wrote the epistles, Mary, the mother of Jesus, these were Jews that gave their life to Christ, and they become a part of that body, which I call the Israel of God. And the Israel of God includes Jews and Gentiles who've given their life to Christ Jesus. But there was another set of Jews that fought against the body of Christ, fought against the Messiah, and were the main persecutors of the early Christians in the first century. The two main devils that hit the church in first century during the writing around before 70 AD was the apostate Jews and also Rome. Those were your two, what you call the beast and the false prophet. Those were the two systems that was fighting against the early church, all right? You had Jews that wanted to murder and kill it. Anyone that called on the name of Jesus and then tried to use scriptures from the Old Testament to justify it. And then you got Rome by the power of Caesar, okay, Nero, who's really called the beast, 666, as we get into this study, I'm sure that Nero was that beast that was fighting against the early church, who actually blamed the fire of Rome on the Christians and had Apostle Paul's head decapitated. And so what the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation, there were two main enemies that fought against the early church, but Christ Jesus dismantled it. In 70 AD, the Jewish temple burned to the ground. Now, one brick left on top of another, and Rome collapsed from within. There was nobody stronger than the power of Rome until Christianity came. So what the Bible teaches, especially in the epistles, all the way to Revelation, is a victorious church. It's a gospel, if it's preached right, if it's lived right, if it's demonstrated right, it will dismantle Jesus' enemies. Okay? Now, what do we learn from this indirectly? Any government, any system, any religion, any person that tries to pass laws or procedures that fight against the body of Christ, you will be defeated. You'll be bought low. You'll be bought down. This is why it's so important that the church always walks in forgiveness. Stop throwing folks under the bus on Facebook and pray for them. All men in the body. Lift up your president in prayer. Lift up your governor in prayer. Lift up your mayor in prayer. But how am I praying? I can't. I hate him. Well, you're not following biblical scriptures because we're not supposed to hate anybody. We're supposed to forgive and pray for our enemies. So if you don't like the president, you're at least supposed to pray for him. I don't see anyone posting prayers for President Trump because you're afraid you're going to be labeled a Republican, you're labeled a conservative, so you're afraid to do what the Bible says. I'm not afraid. I'm going to pray for anyone I feel like praying for, and I do know, according to the scriptures, God can make folk bless me. If I don't like them, he can make them bless me. I got two biblical references, Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. Both of them were enemies against Israel, and God made both of them bless his people. So you don't always have to like someone for God to make someone bless you, because God can make your enemies bless you. That's why Jesus said to Judas, my friend, call him friend, because without a Judas, there is no cross. So there's no justification for not praying for your president. There is no justification not praying for your governor. And your president is Republican, and your governor is a Democrat. So I'm teaching both sides. I'm teaching a very balanced message. If you're mad at my message, then that's on you. But I'm standing on the scriptures. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Psalms 110 makes it pretty plain that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Whoever is the Christ is victorious. All right. Now, we have this other type of, you call it, dispensationalism that teaches you that Christ is Lord and King of Kings later. No, he's not. He's King of Kings now. When he came out the grave, I got a scripture in Matthew chapter 28. All power is given unto me in the heavens and earth. Go ye and make disciples of nations, which means all the power we will ever need now and future has been given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, Pastor and our sister Nelson and Tracy and Minister G, we don't believe it. We're not really persuaded. We still think about, I'm waiting for more power. I'm waiting for more of this, more of that. How much power you need when the kingdom has been given to you already? It's been given to you already. What the Bible teaches you, I'm going to say close to 80% of it, maybe I'm going to leave a little 20% out, most of the prophecies have been fulfilled in the first century. And the assignment now is to make disciples of nations and wait for the final return of Christ Jesus in bodily form so that death will be no more and our spirits will jump back in our door of our bodies and we'll live in the city of Jerusalem throughout eternity. It'll become our headquarters, but then we'll be able to occupy planets between earth and heaven because we like God, just like him. I'm not present. I went deep in that we did before on this broadcast, but I'm showing you how sometimes because our minds are so pessimistic, we like to think the worst. Until you read Revelation the way it should be read. The book of Revelation is a poetic book. It is a cartoon book. It speaks of signs and symbols. If you don't understand Jewish idioms and understanding of Jewish writings, the book of Revelation will throw you off. Do not, I'm going to say it again, do not try to read the book of Revelation and not make that your first book you read it in the Bible, because you're going to think these things about dragons and about stars and about a beast with four heads. You don't think he's talking about literal. That's talking about literal. Right? These are pictures These are signs. These are symbols. These are shadows. These are things that must be discovered by your ability to study to show yourself approved. All right, this is very important to get this. If you don't understand this, you will take everything literally. Now, let me give you this, some updates that are going to help you out. Sometimes when you're reading things in the Bible, to be very careful you don't interpret it literally. Some things you do, some things you don't. That's why you got to understand the thing called pretext, post-text, and the text. Pretext means what comes before the scripture. Post means what comes after it, and the text is right in between. And you got to learn how to read things, because some things reading the Bible, it's not all for us directly. We can learn things indirectly, but there's some things that are to be learned indirectly. And God is a poet. God sometimes says things in a way you got to read behind the shadows. I don't know why God does it like that. That's what he chose to do. But it makes us study. It makes us get into it. Hello, Clarice. Hello, Miss Seiko. God bless you, Kathy Pointer. And so when you hear this term, and I said this before, but I got to repeat it, that he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Now, think about that. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Now, that scripture says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Does that mean he doesn't own the hills? Does that mean at the hill 1001, he no longer owns the cattle? So the number 1,000 doesn't really mean numerically 1,000. It means a long, full number. You're very careful when you look at certain scriptures and reading. You think it always means exactly what it says. You're a teaching class. You must understand Daniel. Yes. Yes, Daniel is connected to the book of Revelation and is connected to the coming of Christ to the earth and then giving the church the power that it needs to conquer all kingdoms. And the first two kingdoms that the body of Christ brought down was the kingdom of apostate Israel and also Rome. And what we're supposed to learn from that indirectly is don't mess with the church. Don't mess with the body of Christ because you will get your butt whipped, period. So every law you pass, all your bills, all your political manipulation, if it does not line up with Christian values, it's not going to last. I don't care who the president is. I don't care who the governor is. If you're going to move towards anything politically, check with the scriptures. See what God says about it, and then begin to vote your values. I don't care what you say. This is the book of Revelation. What it teaches you is whoever the enemies are of Christ, Jesus will be swallowed up. That's what it comes down to. Now, what the church got to learn is not to use physical war. She can't curse out. She can't hold grudge. She can't be hateful. She can't get on Facebook Live and curse people out. She can't do that. That's not the arm of the spirit. That's the arm of the flesh. The scripture in the New Testament talks about the weapon of righteousness, which means if you do it right, it becomes a weapon. See? So when we talk about the number 1,000, it does not always mean 1,000. You're on the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so, what about Hill 1005? Does God not own those? It doesn't say the hills, it's the cattle. So, it doesn't say you own the hills. So, does it mean that God doesn't own the hills? So, be very careful when you read things literally. Here's another term. You know, we hear the term clouds. You think these clouds in the sky, I got some beautiful clouds right now I'm looking at, driving, and my wife is driving, looking at the beautiful white clouds. Those are not the clouds he's talking about. There's a term called cloud that is used in the New Testament, which includes all the people that died in Christ. They hang out in this cloud. And it looks like wherever God goes, people travel with God in the cloud. See, he's coming in the cloud, in the clouds of the air. Not talking about the clouds in the first heaven. He's talking about clouds in the third heaven, which is an invisible world where people go when they pass and die in Jesus, which according to Hebrews chapter 12 is called Mount Zion. It's called paradise. It's called the third heaven. It's called the city of God. It's called the Jerusalem. All right. This is where the church gathers together in the spirit, dead and alive. The real church gathering will blow your mind because you don't understand how deep this thing is. That's why you hear people all the time. Pastor Mike, I saw my mother, I saw my father, I saw my cousin. They already been dead 10, 20 years. They show up because it might be their angel. God might open the clouds up and show you stuff. And this is stuff your church probably won't teach you because they don't understand it. And people will not teach what they don't understand. And they'll stay away from subject matter. I'm not afraid of the book of Revelation. I'm going to teach this, and I'm going to do an in-house course in my new matrix of my learning center for those who want to learn in-house. I'm going to start a new SITU course. It's going to be at my new place, 77 Park Avenue, Patterson. I'm going to teach in person SITU about the book of Revelation. It took me years to teach this book because I never agreed to what I heard. see this subject matter. It's going to be 7 years of tribulation. The first 3.5 years, blessing. The last 3.5 years, curses. And the church will be in heaven. And then God can release these plagues on the earth. I'm like, whoa, whoa. You hear this? Pastor, hi, Lady J. Jimmy said, hey. And so you got this this ideal that the earth will be turned over to the devil, and here comes the beast, the false prophet of the Antichrist will form this demonic allegiance. It's the reader saying, no, this doesn't line up right. How can Jesus say in Matthew 28, verse 18, that all power is given to me in heaven and earth, and then turn around and say the devil's going to have power over that? That don't make any sense. How are you going to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? And then when the rapture comes, no longer is that scripture true. It's got to be true all the way around. We have a victorious gospel that must be preached and must be given to the saints. But the problem is people that I've been around, just talking about me personally, teach a spirit of this dispensationalism, which teaches you that there come a time when there's going to be trouble, and then God's going to take the church off the planet and take us to heaven and hide out for 7 years while plagues are poured out on the earth. And the 144 Jewish evangelists are going to witness. They say, hear this, say, nah. And I didn't know why my spirit didn't go with it. Then I started to check out views of different people and come to find out that the rapture teaching wasn't even that old. It was a new doctrine. The early church taught total victory. The goal was to evangelize the whole earth and make disciples of every nation. That was the power of the kingdom. But what I learned that the devil does, he gets in and he brings error. He brings error, and we teach an erroneous doctrine. Afraid of this, scared of that. It's going to get bad. You know? That's every year we got an Antichrist. You know? One time it was Henry Kissinger. Another time it was, who was the Jewish guy? Killed all the Jews. What's his name? Hitler. You know, Idi Amin, every time somebody come, every 10 years, you know it's off. All that does is create a spirit of suspicion. Spirit of suspicion. I got folks that want to go to Rome because they said the peace come out of Rome. I'm going to. I want to go to Rome, you know. At the Catholic Church because, you know, the Pope is the devil. I met a nice Catholic preacher of the week. He preached a great word at a homecoming service. I was so honored to meet him. And the anointing was on this brother. So a lot of times it's our ignorance that speaks. We heard one point of view, Sharonda, and we tend to take that view. Get in the Bible and study yourself. Even as I'm teaching and preaching, I don't have a right for you to hear just me and just believe everything I say. After I teach it, go do your own study. Go back and study and get the different point of views. No matter what I teach, you're not going to believe it 100% anyway because you have your own point of views. I refuse to receive a teacher that teaches me to speak. When the book of Acts shows you that when Christ is preached, it transforms cities. It causes, watch this, terrorist like Saul to become Paul. Imagine someone who was living during Saul's time, he was persecuting the church. Oh, Saul is Antichrist. Listen, they started interceding, and God sent a lightning bolt and knocked Saul off his high horse, and Saul became the Apostle Paul. I don't listen to people that tell me not to pray for people, because God might send a lightning bolt to the president. God might send a lightning bolt to the governor. God might send a lightning bolt to the mayor. Why do we cancel people because they don't see our point of view yet? Keep praying, keep interceding, and don't be afraid to stay open to people, because God can change people. I don't know, because he changed Kim. I say, your gospel.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for everyday heroes. From Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home, or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. If chronic pain is preventing you from leading a full and active lifestyle, then it's time to visit Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists. As a Blue-friendly service provider, Oasis understands that each person's situation is unique and that each person's healing plan needs to be customized for individual injuries and conditions. Featuring board-certified and fellowship-trained physicians, Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists will have you back on your feet and back in the game. Schedule your appointment today by visiting www.blueorthopedic.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit VisitBlue.com. VisitBlue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you are looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you found it. DDVRadio.com offers programs such as Between Two Blue Balls, Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com. Radio.com.
Okay, we're back to www.mybroadcastdvd.com. Got some technical difficulty, but we're back on here. You're also watching my live. I'm talking about the book of Revelation. Hello, Terrell. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. I want to show you something. Go over to verse 4. He says, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. This is Asia Minor. So the book of Revelation was written to seven churches in the first century. Please write that down. Please write that down. Please write that down. Please write that down. I gotta say to all the church folk, if folks don't understand this, he's gonna write to America. The book of Revelation especially is directly written to the seven churches at Asia Minor. Now, of course, we can take things indirectly and apply to all churches, all ages, but keep in mind how you execute a text. Who's the author and who is the message directed to? It's directed to seven churches in Asia Minor. Seven churches. So there's something that God wants to communicate through the Apostle John to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And I'm talking to New York. He's not talking directly to Paterson, New Jersey. He's talking to seven churches in Asia Minor. Know your immediacy. Know your audience. He's talking to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which there was an explosion of Christian evangelism, of Jews getting saved. You know, there was an emperor worship that was being overturned because they had a new king in town called Jesus the Christ. I mean, church came under major persecution between the apostate Jews and also Rome. And Jesus would hold on to the kingdom because you're going to go through this tribulation and come out of it. You'll go through this tribulation and you'll come out of it. So the tribulation period happened during, before, like around 70 AD, the collapse of the Jewish temple. That was around what the tribulation was, the great tribulation, the great tribulation. We're on the other side. Our assignment now is to preach and live the gospel of the kingdom and save as many souls and make as many disciples and live our lives and die. Go ahead and die. And pass the baton on to the next generation. Christ will decide what time he finally bodily returns. Okay? All right, we're doing good. Let me know how I'm doing, Brother Robert. Send me some inboxes on my live feed so I can see I'm coming in clear. Look at verse, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come. That's another term for deity. He's telling you that Jesus is not only a man, he's also God. He was there before time. He's there in time. He'd be there throughout all time. So Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Okay, that's the term is, was, who is to come. All right, keep in mind, keep that term, to come, keep that term, to come, keep that there. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, which could connect to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which could be the Holy Spirit, going to send seven different messages to seven different churches in Asia Minor. Keep on, and watch how symbolic the number seven pops up in the book of Revelation. And you find a lot of things that are symbolic, cartoon-like, and pictorial. All right? Look what it says. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on the earth. That means any king you name, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whether we're the fellow kings, whether it's a king over America, a king over England, king over Russia, doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then the book of Revelation kind of sums up what the message is about. Look at Revelation chapter 1, and I did this last 2 weeks ago, but I'm trying to emphasize some stuff, BT and Terrell. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Notice how he's talking about his blood. Now, if you think about the first century Israel, when they thought about blood, they thought about animal sacrifices. Well, the Apostle John got a word from God saying that we're no longer concerned about the blood of animals. The only blood I'm concerned about is the blood of Jesus Christ. Any religion that does not have blood of Christ in it is just a club. It's a waste of time. I'm sorry. Not the same. The blood of Jesus qualifies the Savior's message. Without the shedding of Christ's blood, whatever you do could be a nice club, a nice little thing you do, but when it comes to the body of Christ, Christ's blood was shed for mankind, was shed for mankind. We're not talking about blood from a dove, not blood from an animal, because that only covered. This blood blotted out my iniquities, which means that the message is preach Christ, live for Christ Jesus, stand in Christ Jesus. Let him be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will dismantle every king that is against him, including apostate Israel, and including Rome. All right, we're talking about, when we get to the part about the seven hills, the seven mountains, that's Rome. Talking about the beast, all right, the beast. That's Nero fighting against the church. 666, when you break down that name in a, what you call, a type of language code, the numbers add up to 666. Nero is that beast that was attacking the church from Rome. He was an emperor. He was a pharaoh. It's like a pharaoh, you know? So when we get there, I can't get ahead of myself. Revelation 1, same verse, 5. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. and made us, watch this, and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. So no revelation is telling you that that's something that takes place 2,000 years from now. It's a past event. When Christ came out the grave, he made us King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but the other kings and the other lords are the people in the body of Christ. He's the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings on the earth. All right? And then he made us, in verse 6, he made us a kingdom of priests. Now take the word kingdom, split it in half. King, that means ruler. Dome means a property or a specific sphere. And then you got priest, which is like a spiritual minister. So we represent God to the people and the people to God. This has been given to every believer in Christ Jesus because of the shed blood of Christ. So how you used to worship in the temple is no longer important. How you used to bring things to the temple for blood sacrifices, no longer important. It has to happen at a certain day, at a certain time, with a certain robe, with a certain priest. That's no longer the issue. We got to upgrade. It's like your phone. You've been upgraded. Now the blood of Jesus Christ takes away your sins. Now we don't use physical war to fight. We use spiritual war. We no longer deal with stones made by physical material. Now it's spiritual stone. We are the living stones. We are the living epistles. We put on the weeping. We become like the Bible, walking on 2 feet. See, you see how things change? We got an upgrade, Deborah. We got to upgrade Brenda Taylor. We got to upgrade Terrell Thomas, Toombs. We got to upgrade Sharonda Thomas. We got to upgrade. Look at it. Look what it says. He made us a kingdom of priests with God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and evermore. In verse 7 is a verse I started last week, but I got to say it again. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. See that word cloud? They're talking about these clouds in the sky. Talking about the gathering of saints. And to every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, even the folk who stuck a spear in his side from Rome, and even those Jews, watch this, even those Jews, all right, who helped play a role in putting Christ on that cross. So this verse is written in Greek, is a continual coming. Not one coming, it's like many comings. So I'm going to come on 70 AD and through the power of the Roman armies and tear down the temple. I'm going to come again and again. I'm going to show you again where you keep calling the word come, come, come. Many comings. But the two most important coming that we talk all about is the final coming of Christ. When he comes back on the Mount of Olives, he returns to the earth to finish up with the body of Christ have started. Then there's another type of coming, which I call the day of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. The day of the Lord is judgment of the Jewish temple, and the coming of the Lord is the final coming of the Lord. Those are the two most important comings we talk about. But as I'm going to show in a few minutes, there were many comings. Because the word coming also means to judge. I'm coming to clean house. I'm coming to correct you. I'm coming according to Psalms 18, like David. I'm coming to deliver David from the hand of Saul. There are many types of words used for coming, like the word cloud, like the number 1,000. Be very careful. You don't interpret scripture by an American newspaper. You interpret scriptures by the Bible. Okay? Look what it says in verse 7, 1-7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on the account of him. Someone said tribes of the earth or tribes of Israel, doesn't matter, will wail on account of him, even so, which means that whichever coming he comes, some will see that he came, and oh my God, he was right. When Jesus Christ came to Rome, and the temple was torn down in 70 A.D., the temple was torn down brick by brick. Jesus prophesied and said, not one brick will left on top of another will be thrown down. That was a type of coming. When I showed in a few minutes, there were some comings here in the book of Revelation that goes to show the word coming don't always mean what you think it means. Stop being an American. Read and understand Eastern understanding. The Bible is an Eastern book. Stop trying to make it an American book. It's an Eastern book. All right? I'm going to read it again. Revelation 1, verse 7. In the Greek language, it says, behold, he is coming with the clouds. And the word coming there in the Greek means a continual coming. It's like he continues to come. He comes through history. He continues to come. He continues to come. He continues to come until there comes a final coming. Okay? The coming started when he returned in 70 AD. There was one coming. There's another coming. There's another coming. Many comings. But then there's a final coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, he says the same Jesus that went up is the same Jesus that came back down. And it says this coming, according to this scripture, many who persecute you now will see it, and they will wail on the account. The word wail means cry and weep. So something had to happen before 70 AD, which most folks believe the book of Revelation was written before 70 AD. There's a little controversy over that, but I believe it was written before 70 AD because the temple was still standing, okay? But it says the earth will wail on account of him, even so, so be it. And then it says in verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. So, I like to say in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 8, it's like a summation of the whole gospel. It's like Jesus Christ, since I came out the grave, I got all power, I made you guys fellow kings and fellow priests. You have to represent me in the earth. Now, what I'm going to tell you is, in the early unfolding of this thing called the church with the kingdom keys, there is major persecution, and God allows it. God has not shut it down. He allows it to unfold. So there were martyrs who paid for their lives for the early birthing of the church. Now, this is something I want you to write down. We're going to look at this probably, I might do another hour today, but I want you to write some stuff down. Before God moves in the earth in a major way, there's always a shedding of blood. Even in history, whenever there's a major move, even the Dr. King movement, a major shifting in slavery, people pay with their lives. Folks died in war. People died with their blood to get the power to vote. Even in the 60s, whether it was Dr. King or Malcolm X, people pay with their lives. Sometimes innocent people died for the release of the guilty. And that's something we don't want to talk about because it's not very charismatic, not a lot of folk gospel to it. But there are some innocent lambs that die before the greater comes. Let me add a side note here. And please hold on to your seat. I don't want to offend no one, but here's a point I'm making. Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others went down in a helicopter accident. And I believe the whole United States of America and the world shifted due to the death of Kobe Bryant. Kind of shook everybody to the core. And now we're in the middle of a controversy with Gayle King and Oprah. You know, why did Gayle King even ask about his supposedly allegedly rape charge that was taken care of 17 years ago? Wrong timing, out of place. But you can see how this stuff touches at the core of people's hearts. What I realize is that the spirit of death will come before there's a major move of God. The book of Revelation really is to encourage the early Christians who were, most were Jews, becoming believers, and some of their relatives and family members were getting killed and being persecuted. And it was crying out to God for deliverance. It was crying out to God to come on, God, come help us. And God, I'm coming. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Don't give up. But there was a shedding of people who lost their lives in the early church. And we don't want to talk about that. But sometimes there is a taking away of an innocent lamb that would touch the hearts of many, that the gospel of the kingdom might find itself in the hearts of people. God bless you, Deborah and Brenda Taylor. That's why in Revelation 1, verse 9, is that I, John, your brother, look at this, and partner in the tribulation. See that? The tribulation will be in America 1,000 years from now. The tribulation going on now. Such a tribulation. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos. So whatever is going on, it is going on while John is on the Isle of Patmos. It's not talking about America directly. It's not talking about Russia. It's not talking about Rome. He's talking right now about I'm on the Isle of Patmos. Listen to me, Ricky Green. And right now, while I'm on the Isle of Patmos, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are under major persecution, but you're going to have to endure. So the word that comes to the kingdom saints during this first century is endurance. You have to endure. You have to endure. And people don't like endurance because it doesn't mean the pain is going to be alleviated immediately. Hello, Jeff Randolph. It may take a little time. Church folks don't want to endure. We want to name it and claim it, nab it and grab it and stab it, and then everything goes away like magic. It's not bewitched. It's not I dream a genie. Ding, 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 no! God's kingdom is going to continue to come, but while it's coming, it's under contradiction, it's under pain. And if the truth be told, whoever's listening to me, if you're a pastor or a leader, I bet my bottom dollar, I'm not a betting man, that as you build your ministry, you lost folk in your congregation. Some folks died. Some folks never thought would die, died. I can give you three deaths that shocked me to this day. We prayed for them, believed God for them, and they still died. It's like the shedding of innocent blood creates space for something greater in the future. Don't understand it, but that's how God's system sets up. So something happens in persecution that we have to endure. When you look at this, it's in the Isle of Patmos. It says, on the account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now watch this. I got 3 minutes. It's 2:52 on www.mybroadcast.com. I got 3 minutes. Let me just say this, and I'm going to have to begin to close out on www.mybroadcast.com. And what I want to show you, what I want to express to you, what I want to explain to you is that John on the Isle of Patmos is pointing out to the fellow Jewish Christians that I understand your pain and suffering, but I need to keep the writings or the property that I'm writing to you in the Revelation. Is especially trying to encourage the seven churches. We had a few technical difficulties today, but we'll get it better next week. I want to thank y'all for listening to www.mybroadcast.com, the My Radio Show I taught today on week 99, lesson 2 in the Book of Revelation. This Sunday morning, tomorrow at 77 Park Ave, we'll be having our church service at the Matrix Mike Learning Center, 77 Park Ave at 7:47 a.m. I got an early service. Get in, get out. I see you tomorrow. God bless you. God keep you. I love you, Reverend McDuffie.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night? Feeling sluggish during your day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. If chronic pain is preventing you from leading a full and active lifestyle, then it's time to visit Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists. As a Blue-friendly service provider, Oasis understands that each person's situation is unique and that each person's healing plan needs to be customized for individual injuries and conditions. Featuring board-certified and fellowship-trained physicians, Oasis Spine and Orthopedic Specialists will have you back on your feet and back in the game. Schedule your appointment today by visiting www.blueorthopedic.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals. For the men and women of law enforcement, the unfiltered voice of law enforcement, theBlueMagazine.com. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit VisitBlue.com. VisitBlue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you are looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you found it. DTVRadio.com.